Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
This critical case is now set for oral argument. It's the ACLU trying to take down Christian schools and religious organizations. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, we have the privilege of representing Liberty University, one of the largest Christian universities in the nation, and doing a wonderful job of teaching and training our next generation with biblical viewpoints and values. However, we had a man who decided he wanted to work there, and it sounds like a real setup to me, Matt, because after his 90-day probationary period, he comes out and says, you know what, I think I'm a woman, and I want you to call me by Eleanor, and I've been taking these puberty blockers all along. And then he was surprised that he got fired because of that?
Yeah, he actually was taking these for 4 months. It's cross-sex hormones
prior,
for four
right?
months before he applied.
Yeah, okay.
So he's on that road to wanting to take these opposite-sex hormones, so estrogen. He's a man, Jonathan. And then he goes and applies at Liberty University. And Liberty University, to Liberty University's credit, because they've been thinking through this a long time, they've got a great legal department there. They have great policies in place that actually very specifically express their Christian doctrinal position. And their doctrinal position is very specific. God created us in His image, male and female, and that it is a sin to identify as something other than what God created you at your birth sex. In other words, if you are born male, if you try to pretend that you are female, that is sinful and completely in contrast, in rebellion to the doctrinal statement.
And you know, it's just a reminder that all Christian universities and all Christian organizations should have their ducks in a row, so to speak, and make sure their paperwork, make sure their Christian mission and doctrine is very, very clear.
Yeah.
Because it could easily come to them.
Let me emphasize what you just said. I think that that is really critical. It's not a matter of if your organization, your Christian church, your Christian school, or your Christian ministry is going to be challenged. It's probably just a matter of when someone is going to challenge it. And it could be somebody that's employed with you right now. It could be somebody that didn't set you up, like Jonathan Zinsky clearly did. He had an agenda. I think it was a total setup from the very beginning. It could be somebody that's been with you for a while, and now they go through whatever phase in their life, and they enter into a same-sex relationship, and they come to you one day and say, you know what, I am married to someone of the same sex, and I want to have that person on my insurance benefits. Now, what are you going to do? You need to have your policies in place.
Right.
And so we have policies that you can contact Liberty Counsel at lc.org or liberty at lc.org. And we can provide you some policies for your church, school, business, Christian businesses, for-profit or not-for-profit, to be in place that protect your mission, that state what your mission really is.
All right, so you don't get cut off guard. Like in this example, he signed a statement agreeing with the mission, agreeing with the doctrine, and then he comes up with this.
Right, so he's taking hormones for 4 months, then he comes and he applies to Liberty in the IT department. And in the IT department, you're communicating directly and also electronically with faculty, staff, and students. And he reads the doctrinal statement. It's very specific, like I mentioned. And I can actually quote it, but that's the general idea of what I just said. Very specific. Signs off on that. Waits for the 90-day probation to expire. And then comes in and says, you know what? I've been taking these hormones, like you said, for 4 months before I began. I want to be called Eleanor, and I want to start identifying and dressing like a woman because I'm going down this road, which would supposedly include plastic surgery. And that's when, you know, Liberty University takes a look at this and their HR department says, you know, this is in violation of our doctrinal statement. This would be open rebellion. This is not how right. somebody thinks or feels. This is an external representation of who you are pretending to be in direct violation of the doctrinal statement.
Right, but we have the paperwork where you signed off in agreement with that, and now you're revoking
Yeah, so,
that?
You know, from Liberty standpoint, they're training Champions for Christ. It's an educational institution, and their purpose in life is to train young people in higher education. And obviously, if their employees, which are manifestation and a representation of who Liberty is, are actually working in direct, open defiance against the doctrinal statement, how can they then convey their mission to the students who they are training as champions for Christ? Mm-hmm. And Zinsky gets terminated, and then the ACLU files a lawsuit. We go to the lower court decision, and the judge in Lynchburg, Virginia, rules against our motion to dismiss, finding that our review of the Title VII is the most logical explanation and understanding of it, but concerned with the breadth of what would happen. In other words, our argument is that under Section 702 and 703 of the Title VII, which is the employment law, if your decision to terminate somebody or any employment decision is based upon religion, then as Title VII says, the rest of Title VII drops out. So in other words, you're able to do that. But it has to be a decision based upon religion. And clearly in this case, Liberty's decision was based upon their religious doctrine. It was based upon the fact that Jonathan Zinsky would be an open, obvious violation, defiantly opposing by his exterior presentation, his acts, daily in front of faculty, staff, and students, that he opposes the doctrinal statement. Be like walking around every day that you oppose the doctrinal statement that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And you're opposing that, and that's part of their doctrinal statement. In this particular case, you're opposing the doctrinal statement, openly so, that God created us in his image, male and female. That's part of the doctrinal statement. And so Liberty made the decision based upon his doctrine. The judge agreed that that's the most logical interpretation of Title VII, but was concerned to actually go that route because he says the implications are far-reaching. Well, that's what Title VII says. Title VII, for example, gives the right, which is called the ministerial exception. So if somebody is performing a ministerial function, like a pastor, like a teacher, that the organization can terminate that person for any reason. It's a more narrow thing of a specific type of individual who performs a ministerial function, who is like the mouthpiece, the propagator of the mission, like a teacher, for example, or like a pastor, for example, that you don't have to associate with them, that you have a right to terminate them. Title VII gives you the right to do that. Section 702, 703 goes beyond that title ministerial exception. And it says, if the decision is made based upon religion, if it's a religious-based decision, then you also have the right of the church autonomy doctrine, basically, that government cannot interfere with the operation of the institution. Because when you have your, you can't have a doctrinal statement and yet have all of your employees openly, defiantly opposing that doctrinal statement. Because if you do that, your doctrinal statement means nothing. Your employees actually embody and should represent outward facing to the public, to whoever they communicate with, even to other staffers and team members, that they are in compliance with your doctrinal statement. Otherwise, your doctrinal statement means nothing. And if it means nothing, then the government is literally able to dismantle religious organizations. And so that's why this case is so critically important. The oral argument is set for March the 17th. I'll be presenting oral argument at that time. I've been in a process of extensive review and preparation for this particular argument. Continue to pray for this case. It's Zinsky versus Liberty University. March the 17th, we'll be arguing the case at the Court of Appeals And this case has a very strong potential, Holly, to go all the way to the United States Supreme Court.
Absolutely. You know, but on the other hand, I also pray for people like Jonathan Zinsky and those who are caught in this LGBT agenda, and pray that they would come to know him as Lord and Savior, come to know that they would embrace who God has really created them to be.
Their identity should be, and most effectively would be, in Christ. And
yes.
So that's really our prayer and our hope for all people who are struggling. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/LU. That's lc.org/LU.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.